the important role of self-esteem in healing. This is Dr. Herbert Albarelli, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, and bringing you the thought for today. Thank you. The important role of self-esteem in healing. We are sitting here at the breakfast table and in the monastery here, and on the breakfast table we had a pitcher of water, and it was on the Lazy Susan, and it was just in a position so it would sparkle the morning sunlight into my face, showing what a bright, charming, delightful person I am. And rather than to distract you from what I'm saying, I asked them to remove the sparkling water that was shining on me and making me so illumined. But this is sometimes the extent of our illumination. It's sometimes the extent of our experience of our self-esteem. Now, I have enough self-esteem for everybody, and I'm very happy I have enough self-esteem for everybody. I have enough self-esteem for myself. We were talking about some activities that we're doing in Russia, and Ellen was saying about one of the young fellows who went to Russia with her when she went with all the ministers, and Ellen being the counselor and practitioner and organizer as she is, the young man said, but I don't want to speak before all these people, you know, all these people, I don't want to speak before them. I mean, I just can't. And Ellen says, well, you've been a practitioner in the science of mind for, you know, many, many years, and you're very successful, and you know how to speak. And, but what do I say? What do I say? And Ellen says, look, you know who you are. You know that you're a wonderful person. You know, well, you came here to Russia in the first place because you must have had something you wanted to tell these people. Now Ellen says, lay aside your textbook, lay aside all the rules, and look at these people with your heart and just talk to them right from your heart. And if you talk to them right from your heart, you will say exactly what they're here to hear, and you will say exactly what you are here to say. So if we always just talk right from our heart, we will give the most meaningful, most powerful, most self-esteemed talks that we could ever give in our life. The importance of self-esteem in whatever we do is, if you like it, it'll be good for whatever your listener wants. And you say, well, I like beer. Well, go to Germany, go to Munich, talk to the beer fest there, and you'll be right in place. Well, I like scotch. Well, go to Scotland, you know, and talk to the Scots breweries there about scotch. Well, I like girls. Well, you'll find them all over the world. And if you have self-esteem in yourself, if you like yourself, the girls will like you. But if you don't like yourself, the girls will walk all over you. They'll say, lie down, doormat, you know. No one respects a person who doesn't respect themselves. When we have the ability to have self-confidence in ourselves, self-respect, self-esteem, we can accomplish any goal we set before us. But without that, it cannot be done. It cannot be done at all. Now, if you know that you are unaware of mathematics and you're going to take a job in a store and you may have to be on the cash register, what's a very important thing for you to learn? It's very important for you to learn mathematics. All at once? Hey, there is no all at once. You know it already. You're merely revealing to yourself that you know it. And is mathematics difficult or hard or simple or easy? What is it? Well, it's don't name it. It's a snap for you. If you think mathematics is easy, you will learn it quickly. If you think it's hard, you'll learn it long time. You'll learn it taking a long time to learn. It's not because it's difficult or not because it's easy, but it's because of your personal self-esteem. If you believe in yourself, you can accomplish anything. Again, we go back to the words of the Master, it's done unto you according to your belief. Now, what do you believe? What do you believe about yourself? You know, it's very easy for all of us to make stupid remarks from time to time. In fact, we seem to have been trained in this by some miserable being in our lifetime. Oh, me? That's just for me? As though you're surprised that someone does something nice for you. Oh, you want me to speak? What I say? Well, say, any time a person gives you an opportunity to speak, say, yes, sir, wonderful. Hey, this will be fun. I'm going to tell them all about what I believe about the philosophy. I'm going to tell them all. You don't believe very much, huh? Because sometimes, you know, you can only get a few minutes to talk, but what are you going to do? If you had to tell somebody in a nutshell what our philosophy is, you'd all say, be yourself and have fun, you know? Or you'd all say, I like me. Or you'd all say some other term like that, which fits you at the moment. But is that what you really believe? What does it mean to be yourself and have fun? Does that mean that you go around doing what other people expect you to do? That's right. You do what other people expect you to do. Why? Because you created them expecting you to do that. You created every person in this entire universe who is interested in you, who is watching you, who is paying attention to you, because you're their symbol, you're their icon. You are what they are because you created them. But I didn't create wars. Oh, yes, you did. I didn't create illness. Oh, yes, you did. I didn't create wealth. Oh, yes, you did. Well, why haven't I got it? Well, think about it. Do you say, I only need a little bit? Well, that's what you got. You got a little bit. Or you say, I really don't need much to live on? That's what you got. Not much to live on. Do you say, I come from a poor family? We're in poverty? My goodness sakes. Read the autobiographies of 99% of the people in the world, and they came from poor families. But they had the desire to do great things, and they didn't let the limitation of their upbringing limit them. If they let what their mothers and fathers, now you stay within your class, you stay within your ranks, don't go marrying out of the church, don't go marrying out of the clan, out of the Hebrews, out of the Jews, out of the Italians, you know, out of the German, keep it in the Nordic or whatever, and don't marry out of your race and out of your color. My goodness sakes, don't do that. You see, and then the great people who are really great, they don't listen to any limitation. If they fall in love with someone who's a different color or a different race or a different religion or a different philosophy, makes no difference. They choose what they want to do. They have self-esteem. And they like themselves. Now, it may turn out not good for them. It may turn out not beneficial for them. But so what? So what? They did what their heart said at the moment. Now, if your heart says do this at the moment, and then a couple hours later, or days later, your heart says do something different, like Ellen. Ellen is such a good example for me in so many ways. Ellen has always been marry, and maintain your marriage, and marriage is a sacred, wonderful thing, which it is. And then she has now grown to the realization that there are people in this world who don't marry, and they still love each other just as much, and they have a relationship between themselves which is probably more sacred and more holy than a marriage might be. Because they don't have to do it because the law says so. They don't have to do it because of this. And they have to be nice to their wife if they want to keep her because they're not married and she can just pack up and go and nothing lost, you know. And he doesn't have to be nice to her because if she is going to be telling him how to stand up and sit down and that's not his thing, he'll just say, sweetheart, I think we've come to the end of our relationship. Bye-bye. But you can't leave me. We're married. No, we're not. I can't leave you because I'm in love with you, but I can leave you whether we're married or whether we're not, because divorces are quite common. Not that they're good, not that they're bad, but a person should always follow his own, her own self-esteem. Now, can you follow your self-esteem? Can you follow your dream? Can you walk your path? Can you be untouched by the world around you? Can you, rather than be untouched by it, can you create it in your image? And is your image worthy of creating it? Maybe you have in your image some sad ideas which limit you. Well, now, you don't want to propagate that out into the rest of the world. You want to be who you are and be that wonderful being who you are. Yeah, we're a wonderful group of people. We have self-esteem. We like ourselves. Except when it comes to carrying out the big things. We like ourselves by acting however we want. I have a right to act this way. I have a right to do this. And then we look at other people and say, why are they so prissy? Why are they so not happy? Why are they pulling these games on us? You know, why are they doing that? Why do they do that? And then you say, they're doing that because they're being themselves and having fun. Are they being themselves and having fun? Or are they just being opposite, you know, just being contrary? Are you doing something to irritate somebody, or are you doing something to love someone? Doesn't make any difference. Are you doing something to irritate yourself, or are you doing something to love yourself? A lot of people, they go to war because they want to irritate themselves. They think they've been bad people. Really. Anybody who goes to war thinks they're a bad person. My gosh, what's the military going to think of this? Well, it's true. If a person, rather than going to war, would say, I am peace, and everywhere I go, I am peace, and everything I do, I am peace, it wouldn't matter where he was. It wouldn't matter whether he's on the front lines or in the back lines or wherever. It's just a matter that you're peace, just like Jesus was peace. And his peace he left with us, not as the world leaves it, but in a beautiful, wonderful way. Think on these things. Think on these things. Where is your self-esteem? The importance of the role of self-esteem in healing. That's our topic. We might as well mention healing for a moment. What is healing? Healing is healing is to return to our original purity and integrity. Now, what is our original purity? Is our original purity an innocence, a gentleness, a lovingness? Is our original purity a wholeness? Every organ, action, and function of our body is whole and pure. Is that our original purity? Mm-hmm. And the original integrity? What is the intention of every cell in our body?
To be perfect.
Immortality and perfection. Perfection, yes, but we took care of that the step before. But immortality. So, the integrity of ourselves is wholeness, but wholeness is not in there. It's immortality. It lives forever. When it lives forever, there is no place for illness. When it lives forever, have you ever said, I don't want to live in a sick body? Have you ever said, I don't want to live in a sick body?
No.
Many people have. They say, who wants to live forever in a sick body? Well, if that's what your opinion is, that's what you'll have. But if you want to live forever in your ideal body, your whole and perfect body, that's cool. Now, do you think, playing with this just for a moment, as I like to do, do you think that you are going to be so uncreative as to live immortally right here? Do you think that you might get a little bit of bored once you learn the ropes of being human? Might it be interesting to be Glavanian And you see, a Glavanian is off on another planet. That's a human on another planet. Or you want to be a Badwadigan. And when you're a Badwadigan, you're off in another galaxy. You're off in another area. Now, do you want to play those games? Wouldn't that be fun? Or do you want to be divine? Let's just leave it on every planet for being divine.
Yeah.
And what is divine?
Whole.
Whole and perfect. Whole and perfect. And immortal. Now, I'll throw this at you too, as long as you're standing here. Do any of you die?
No.
Then why do you bury your bodies? Because I've chosen a new one, and I moved. And I moved out of one and into a new one. Whatever that may be. It may not be here, it may be there, maybe anywhere, but I moved. Now, we have a dear friend in Canada, and she's always been a sweet, lovable, super girl, always interested in everybody else, always caring about children and caring about her sisters and her family, and just, she was there whenever there was a need to be waited on. And when I was there, she always waited on me, hand and glove, just a super lady. And so she had been feeling poorly, and she was announcing to the world that she was thinking of moving on. And the world worked against her moving on by continually propping her up with life supports and stuff like that. And so finally she decided the only way she's going to escape to move into this next dimension, which she is ready for, and make everybody happy in the process, is to appear to get well. Appear like the dog when they have distemper, you know. They, before they die, they look just perfect. You don't know anything, and then boom, they're gone. And so she made this appearance. And she went out of intensive care into a normal ward, and she relaxed, and people that didn't pay any more attention to her, she went to sleep and moved out. And everybody thought, good, she's back now. She's in normal ward, you know, out of intensive care. We can stop, you know, worrying about her. And the minute they stopped worrying about her, then she says, my family's okay, I can go now. And she left. And she went into this next wonderful adventure that she's traveling in, and some people have the privilege of knowing where other people are going, and most people don't, because most people don't really care. And she's doing her thing. She's doing just wonderful. But you know what most of us want to do? They just want to keep us forever right here. But her mom didn't die first, her sister didn't die first, and the rest of them. No, that's right. And none of her family had been as dynamically involved in the whole family as she. And so she was ready to go. And Helene is a super lady. Super lady. Now, when you're ready to make your journey to your next dimension, are you going to appear well before you drop away? Or are you going to be well before you drop away? That's up to you. Or are you going to make that next step and just take the old corpus delicti with you? Take your body along. And then people say, where'd you go? No body. What? You know, they couldn't find the body of Moses either, you know. They searched everywhere for it. And, I mean, how far could he have gone? You know, he was an old man. And he was up on the mountaintop. And he was surrounded by his friends, and all of a sudden he's gone. And he said, where'd he go? Where'd he go? He must have been buried in some tomb. He just took off. He took his body with him. But people don't want to admit to that. Because that sounds mystical, you know. That sounds strange. And sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Okay. The importance of the role of self-esteem in healing is that if we like ourselves, we release ourselves from all opportunities to do anything like our true nature. We don't have to do it. You don't have to look human. You don't have to look divine. You don't have to look anything. Just be yourself and have fun. And that's what life's all about. And that's what the glory of our living is all about. And that's what we're all about. And are we wonderful? I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.